Won't you take me back to Tennessee?
The award-winning Tennessee Wildcast is on the air with the latest info about hunting, fishing, boating, wildlife watching, and all things outdoors. This year, we celebrate the men and women of the TWRA responsible for 75 years of wildlife conservation. Now make welcome your host, Jason Harmon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Tennessee Wildcast. We're glad you're tuning in. I'm Jason Harmon. I'll be your host, and helping me out today is Mr. Don King.
Yes, sir, Jason. Hey, first of a few of these kind of shows coming up. Something new we've kind of worked up, haven't we?
Yeah, I like this. We're going to do some outdoor updates or news you can use following our commission meetings.
Yeah, especially following commission meetings. There'll be months where we don't have a commission meeting, but we plan to give some outdoor updates, just more current, up-to-date that particular day, that particular week. So, we've called in the big guns. We'll meet them here in just a little bit from the Wildlife and Forestry Division. So we've got a show packed with a lot of the goings-on from the just recently finished commission meeting last week.
Yeah, so. Big season-setting meeting, so that was a big one. And we got those dates and those seasons set for you. So
updates and everything. We've got a radio station. Speaking of having been in Johnson City for the commission meeting up in East Tennessee, we'll highlight an East Tennessee radio station, WMCH, 1260 AM. They are in Church Hill, Tennessee, and up in the Tri-Cities area. And we're on 5:30 p.m., Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. and Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. with the extras. So
awesome.
Anyway,
yeah,
we're excited to have them on board, and thank you. Thanks to all the other radio stations that carry us as well.
Very much appreciate our radio stations and our TV partners and all those folks. So yes, thank you all for tuning in on the radio if you are, and thanks for tuning in on podcasting app, YouTube, all those places. We appreciate folks listening and watching. I'm going to highlight the spring turkey season. We're right in the middle of it right now, and that goes through May 26th. So make sure you get out there and enjoy the turkey season.
Yeah.
Now's a good time to be outside. So spring is awesome in Tennessee, so get out there and enjoy that season.
And looking ahead a little bit farther, we've got Free Fishing Day coming up. Of course, mark your calendar. The first Saturday after the first Monday in June, which is June 8th this year.
There you go.
So mark that down and be sure and take advantage of that. And maybe you can introduce somebody who hasn't been fishing in a while, reintroduce them to it, or take a newcomer out with
you. And don't forget the new name, Bobby Wilson Free Fishing Day.
The Bobby Wilson Free Fishing Day, exactly.
Especially here in Tennessee.
Yeah, so thanks for remembering that.
Speaking of fishing, the fishing guide is online right now only, but once we get the combo.
Why is that we just have it online right now?
Because it's going to be a combo.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Why print it when we're going to print it again? So. in order to cut back on a little bit on some print costs, and those costs have gone up, so we're combining the guides. We're going to set seasons and set fishing regulations at the same time this next year, but this next guide that comes out is going to be a combo guide.
Yeah, that'll be convenient. Get one guide, pick up one guide, and keep it for the whole year. That'll be great.
Definitely.
Just like the licenses now, 365 days.
365, yes. If you're looking for a license, go outdoorstennessee.com. Looking for regulations, tnwildlife.org. I think that's got it. Yeah. So go check those out. Go get you a license. Get outside. Hey, today we have Mark McBride and Joe Benedict with us. Thank you guys for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, don't be quiet now.
We're looking for the cue.
Afraid to speak. No, you're good. Joe Benedict is our chief of wildlife and forestry, and Mark is our assistant chief of wildlife.
I saved big guns. Yeah, we got the top of the top drawer guys here today.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you guys being with us. I know y'all have been through a lot the last, it's been more than a month, but I mean, just preparing and getting ready for the commission meeting and the season setting period. And I know your guys have been working hard, and we're excited to cover some of that today.
It's great to be here. This year I think Mark will get into this later on, but we had a lot of public input, more than we've really ever had as an agency, both email comments, online comments, and some public meetings. So I want to give a shout out to all the folks that commented and came to the meetings and listened and wrote in.
Perfect.
Spoke to your commissioners who passed on that information to us. We had a really good feel for what the public was interested in this year. So just a shout out to folks taking time to comment to us.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. We appreciate folks weighing in and yes, definitely. So first of all, I want to touch on a few of the things that happened, and then we'll get into the wildlife side of things. So the first thing on the agenda for Thursday was Jim Habera,
yes.
Region 4 Fisheries Program Manager. He touched on the tailwaters in East Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of good information there. And just a reminder, if you want to go back and hear the full discussion and the full presentation, you can go back on our YouTube page to watch that and to learn more. But just some of the highlights, 65 miles of tailwaters in East Tennessee. That was a new fact for me. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's wild, isn't it?
But they manage a lot of water there. And they've seen some good trout going in and some good trout coming out. So he mentioned that 272,000 trout about are stocked in South Holston, Wilbur, Norris, Fort Patrick Henry, Boone, and Cherokee.
It's a lot of fish.
Yeah, so all those tailwaters get adult and subadult fish, which are great for catching off the bat.
Uh-huh.
So that's cool. And I guess the third thing I wanted to say, a large amount of that are really good brown, big brown trout. They're seeing a lot of wild big brown trout coming out of South Holston, Wilbur, and Boone.
Yes. Yep. Big fish. Really
good. So that's cool to hear. And then Matt Majors, our lieutenant colonel in law enforcement, he just highlighted some of the LE efforts that are going on. Our LE guys are doing a lot out there. It's not just the normal wildlife and fishery law enforcement work. So they get called in on natural disasters, you know, manhunts, missing persons. We have a great team of guys who can dive down and find anything that's been submerged, or they have the robots that can go down.
Right. Yep.
And find things for folks. But our officers are called in on a lot of different things, and we appreciate the work that they do.
And they're glad to do it as well. So
yeah, definitely.
Especially the missing persons folks, you know, the kids that disappear into the woods or whatever, yeah. You know, our guys are the ones that they get called on. Like, as you said, they get called on regularly for things like that. And they look forward to doing those kind of work.
Well, and that was one of the things that stood out to me that's mentioned a lot. You know, we get called on because we are in the woods all
yeah.
the time. So
yeah.
we have the gear, the four-wheelers and the trucks and things that can go places maybe they can, or we know the woods maybe some better than your street law enforcement guys, you know.
So, right, exactly.
Anyway, we're glad that we can help as an agency. One other thing that was highlighted was the 2023 Shikar Safari Club International Tennessee Award winner, which was Justin Pinkston.
Uh-huh.
So congratulations to Justin for winning that award. The Shikar Safari Club International gives out an award every year. So this year was Justin Pinkston. So go back and watch the commission meeting. You'll see videos or see some photos of the work that he's done and some of the things he's been involved in.
An impressive body of work for sure that year.
For sure. All right, guys. Now it's time for some wildlife. Start to say law enforcement.
One piece in here for law enforcement.
Yeah. We will cover some of that for sure. So I'm going to throw up some slides, and we'll be referencing those today. So if you're listening, maybe you might want to go back and watch. You can see some of those on the screen. But, guys, it was a big meeting. There was quite a few proclamations that we went through, and there was some recommendations that were accepted, some recommendations that were amended. But it was an overall good meeting, I feel like.
It was. Again, a lot of public input. Our staff worked hard. I'm proud of our staff. We did a lot of things behind the scene getting ready for this. You mentioned a busy month or two. It's really about a six-month process for season setting. We analyze data. We look at public input. We do some crunching of numbers. We talk through a lot of different issues with the director's office. So a lot of good effort went into these changes that we're recommending.
Yeah, and if you add in the deer and turkey changes that we proposed this year, you know, with the new adaptive harvest management framework, that's been about a year and a half in the work.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It's been a big push. This was kind of the culmination of a lot of work across that effort.
Yeah. If you get our magazine, you saw kind of a highlight of the AHM process and some of the proposed maps and things like that. But we'll get into those final maps and regulations today.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's been a long process, hasn't it? All right. Let's jump into Proclamation 2407. This was the statewide fur bear hunting and trapping season and big game limits. So we came with a recommendation, but it was changed, right?
Well, we came with a small recommendation. It was added to you, right. So this, I'll take this one. So the we recommended we had to really remove long-tailed weasels and spotted skunks as legal to take for fur bears because the state threatened endangered species list had been updated. So this is just kind of a cleanup. Mm-hmm. And folks that have watched this commission meeting or even some in the past, for the last couple of years, probably several, I guess, maybe many, there's been interest in a nighttime coyote hunting season. And so the commission asked us to consider what sort of sideboards or recommendations the agency might have for the commission to consider. So on Thursday, the Wildlife Committee heard this, and then, of course, Friday, they ended up passing it. But there is now a nighttime coyote and bobcat season in Tennessee. It'll start the day after deer season ends and go through the second Sunday in March. It'll close down essentially for turkey season.
Okay.
And then it'll open the first Saturday in June to go to the second Sunday in August. And this one bobcat per night, no limit on the coyotes. And that's kind of where the season was set. The next slide, if you have, Jason, I think it's the manner and means of hunting. And so
yep.
This was done in two different pieces, kind of a technical thing here. But the manner and means are is the proclamation that describes how you can take animals. And so in this case, we're requiring landowner permission.
Written permission.
And, yeah. And we clarify that it could be a written note, it could be text or an email. Uh-huh. So provide some flexibility with electronics these days. Shotguns only, no single projectile. There's concern from the farming industry and some partners about, you know, what happens at night when you can't quite see as far as your projectile.
Know your target and beyond.
Right. Know your target and beyond, that's right. And so no single projectile. So essentially buckshot and below, any shotgun non-single projectile will be legal. We're allowing lights, but not attached to a motor vehicle, or you can't cast them from a public road. That's something folks may want to pay attention to. You can't spotlight from the road, you know, looking for coyotes and bobcats. We do allow night vision and thermal imaging. That's a cool thing that folks are using these days. Mm. You can use hand, mouth, or electronic calls, but dogs are not allowed in this. So that's those two proclamations together, again, create the season and create the methods allowed to use to take those animals.
All right. And then this all goes into effect, just so folks know, the whole everything that was voted on goes into effect in August, correct?
The hunting guide comes out in August.
Yeah.
Lists these.
Right.
It's a number of days after it's filed with the...
Gotcha.
It's 30 days after it's filed with the Attorney General's office. So
okay.
they still have to, these final proclamations still have to get signed and go through the
process. Yeah, so don't run out tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's what we're getting at. It'll go into effect after it's all filed.
And tune in. We will let you know.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. So that's awesome. I mean, you know, folks have been wanting to wanting this for a while. Some folks have. You know, some folks, you know, may feel it's dangerous. But it's a way to help control predator populations, and when it comes to coyotes, and give them another opportunity to do that at night. You know, I've never thought about doing it myself, but it might be kind of fun.
Jason, I wanted to add something. That one thing that happened, I think it was on Friday, just after a break, Lieutenant Colonel Dale Grantstaff of the Law Enforcement Division provided some clarification. You know, you can, if you have personal property, chickens, cows, you know, domestic quail that you purchased, there's a depredation allowance for any animal destroying your property. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's personal property, not property of the state. He provided some clarification. So there may have been a misspeak a long time ago at a commission meeting years ago, but basically if the property is yours and animals are damaging your property, you can depredate them year-round. And so it's very different than this season. There's different allowances. But, again, the clarification that must be your own personal property
right.
that they're damaging.
Cool. Well, all that was discussed and presented. So go back and watch that so you'll get all the details on that. So that's great. All right. So this was one of the big ones. The Proclamation 2014 had a lot of the big game stuff going on. So here we go. First part is the bear hunt zones. And we had a little change here, that zone 5, right? Zone 5 was new to the...
Yep, that's right. See. So I'll just run through these real quick. So
sure.
Yeah, we created a new bear hunt zone. That's bear hunt zone 5. That consists of Hancock and Hawkin County. So originally, in the past, those have been part of the transitional zone where there was only an archery hunt. By creating this new bear hunt zone, we're able to allow some gun hunts now. So there'll be a gun hunt the second weekend in December. It's going to occur on private lands only. There's not much public land in that part of the state. But it'll also allow the young sportsman hunt at the end of October. Youths can get out there and if they have the opportunity, they can take a bear.
Okay.
So pretty cool.
Incidental to the deer season, correct?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. That'd be a cool experience for a young man or young lady.
Yeah. Yeah, and so in Bear Hunt Zone 4, which is encompasses the plateau, there's been a growing bear population there for years now, and they've had the same archery opportunity that the transitional zone has had. And our bear biologist worked with some researchers. They figured out, hey, the bear population's grown to the point now that we can sustain a gun hunt, and there's enough large tracts of lands there that we actually think we can, we know we can do a dog hunt. So dogs are going to be able to be used on that hunt in Bear Hunt Zone 4. That'll occur at the same time, so the second weekend in December. And then during the youth hunt in October, young sportsmen can also take a bear during the during that hunt. So
yeah,
some exciting new hunting opportunities there. And then the Tennessee Bear Hunters Association has actually come with a request to expand a training season into the spring. So we are going to offer a 14-day training season in Bear Hunt Zone 1, 2, and 3. And so that'll occur. It begins the Saturday after Memorial Day, runs for 14 days thereafter. So that'll be a good opportunity for guys to keep their dogs in shape and ready to go once the fall comes around.
Cool. You know, that's something I've never done. I think it'd be fun to try out some bear hunting.
Yeah, I'd put on a good pair of hiking boots.
Yeah,
they cover some area.
I felt like there wasn't a whole lot of discussion around this. So I feel like, it was well received. I think folks were happy about what was proposed for the bear seasons.
Yeah. And this is one where we got a lot of positive feedback from the public. They were supportive. And this is really kind of the first step. We want to start conservative, see how the hunt goes, see what harvest looks like before we look at adding additional opportunities if they're available.
Awesome. Good deal. Good deal. All right. Well, the big one here, deer management unit and seasons. I'm excited about this. I think it's a new approach with the AHM stuff, like you mentioned, the deer forest management, and I'm excited to see how this next season goes. But let's dive into this one.
Yeah, I think first I'll just throw a pitch out for folks to go watch the October commission meeting, the January commission meeting, and the March commission meeting, where they can really see the nuts and bolts of our new approach, this adaptive harvest management approach, and kind of see how it's structured and really why it's an improvement in how we've been managing. So if you haven't watched those, please go watch them.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool process, and hopefully folks feel like we're putting our best foot forward in managing deer and turkeys.
Definitely.
And so hopefully you've got the deer units, the new units and seasons on the screen here.
Yep.
But we got a lot of good feedback from the public that they really like this simplified approach. You can see now we only have two different seasons across the state. Kind of the whole framework is the same as far as when seasons start and end. So really,
I was going to say, I think it simplifies things a little bit from what it was. I mean, you still have six units like we had in the past, but they're just, I think they're cut up a little bit different, but I think it makes it a little bit easier to follow for the hunter.
Yeah, and when we had six units previously, there were six different hunting seasons, and some ended and began at different times. So here, it's kind of streamlining everything. Hunting season start and end on the same date across all the units. Really, the only difference is bag limits.
Bag limits, yeah.
So.
Yep. I think that's great.
One of the pieces, if I could add, the work that Mark did and the presentation he did in October was a little bit of explaining the root cause, the reason that we have the units divided like they are. They're very different than in the past, right? Mm-hmm. And so I really encourage folks to watch that October meeting. But really, the fundamental thing here is the different data layers, right? So in the past, if you look at the Eastern Tennessee units, they would change every couple of years because folks thought they were seeing some things, but this is based on different layers, like so percent edge, percent forest, percent agricultural, things that in general don't change. And so because of those habitat, the soil types, some underlying factors, the deer populations or turkey populations, which we'll get to next, are likely to act similarly in those areas in response to a change in hunting regulations. Really, the underlying these units will stay the same over time.
Okay.
And again, yeah. It's because of those geological factors.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the units are very intentional as far as the underlying data, and that all kind of comes back to this new approach where we're trying to hold as many things kind of consistent and standardized as possible across these units so that we can measure what's going on with the population, and it's not confounded with, you know, different environmental complexities and potentially different land uses that we know would cause a difference in deer populations. And it's not perfect. We can't even manage across a county with all things being equal. But at the high level, we're trying to really be intentional with our management so we can monitor things better and we can better understand the impacts of our hunting seasons on these populations.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that's great. Let's go on to the next slide here. CWD positive counties. So there's a list of the CWD positive counties, and just want to clarify that that the CWD management zone for carcass transportation and wildlife feeding regulations has not changed, and that is the next slide. But just wanted to make sure folks knew which counties were positive, correct? What we're showing here.
Yeah. So there will be a slight change with the Earn a Buck program. Previously, Earn a Buck was tied to the CWD unit. We no longer have a CWD unit. So the Earn a Buck is now tied to those positive counties. So there's actually an expansion of opportunity for those folks that want to take advantage of this disease management measure here.
Right.
So you can see those 17 counties. That is where Earn a Buck will apply. So if you take a doe, you are eligible to take an additional
buck. And for our radio audience, those counties would be Chester, Crockett, Fayette, Gibson, Hardeman, Haywood, Henderson, Madison, McNary, Lauderdale, Shelby, Tipton, Dyer, Hardin, Henry, Lewis, and Weekly.
There you go.
All right.
And then here's a map of the management zone that is affected by transportation and feeding. So there's been no change there. So make sure you keep an eye on your hunting guide this year, and you'll see that. So, and we'll have the website updated as well.
Yeah, that website will be updated in the next couple of weeks or so. There's a lot of detail here that we need to work through. So we've got our staff working on that.
Perfect.
Just one thing to note, it affects those folks in Southwest Tennessee, but the antlered bag limit for next fall will be 2 statewide. So again, as Mark mentioned, as we mentioned here a minute ago, you can earn additional bucks by shooting a doe and having that doe tested for CWD, but the statewide bag limit is 2, which is a change from last year. So okay. Just want to make sure that was clear.
Yep. Thank you for clearing that up. Yeah, we didn't mention that. Perfect. Okay. The turkey management units, and we're going to hurry. We're going to run out of time. All right. So some new units here, but talk us through this.
Yeah, so new units, but ultimately the commission decided they wanted to keep the bag limit across the state at 2. We had proposed a few units going to 3, but the commission wants to be conservative. There's still a lot of uncertainty out there amongst hunters, and we did hear that in the public comment.
Uh-huh.
So for next year, the start dates are slightly adjusted. Instead of being Saturday closest to April 15th, it's going to be the second Saturday in April. So the youth hunt will be the first weekend in April. Regular opener is that second Saturday in April. Most of the other regulations are going to stay the same. So there's 2 bearded turkeys statewide, only one of which can be a Jake. For this year, no bearded hens are going to be allowed. That was something that the commission heard from a lot of the public, and they decided to bring that. So no bearded hens are allowed to take any, are legal to take anymore. So hunters need to make sure they're paying attention to that. And then there's some slight changes to the fall season. So the fall season will be open. Instead of 1 per county now, it's going to be 1 statewide in the fall.
Bearded turkey
statewide. And there's going to be a slight adjustment to the counties that are not open for that fall season. So I think
we'll have
those counties. So, yeah, there's currently, I think, 18 counties, and that's going to be reduced to 11 counties that are closed during the fall.
Okay.
So these fall closures were recommended by the commission. So it was an amendment that was passed by the commission.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there's going to be a few counties closed to the fall turkey hunting season. Wayne, Lawrence, Giles, Lincoln, Lake, Dyer, Crockett, Lauderdale, Haywood, Tipton, and Shelby. And then as we get into the wildlife or the WMA proc, we'll see some WMAs that were affected by that, correct, on that closure. For the fall, I think.
We don't have the list here today.
Oh, we don't? Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yes, we do. Sorry.
Yeah. So Holly Fork Creek Refuge, Proclamation 2404. We better hurry. Run us through this one real fast.
125 acres in Henry County. We've had a history of being there as allowing hunting. There are some different land use, and so we're able to reestablish this with hunting seasons. It'll be just for a youth hunt, a youth deer hunt for now. So stay tuned for more information on that.
All right. And then the Catoosa.
This is another piece of property we were just able to acquire, about 1,750 acres just west of Catoosa itself, the Catoosa WMA proper.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is only open for limited hunting right now. The agency is considering some other uses, maybe some mentored hunts and things. Just a note, if you see the screen there, our law enforcement academy for training game wardens will be moved to there in a couple of years.
Right. Yeah.
There's a piece we pulled out for just that, for that training and for safety.
Very cool. All right. And then the WMA proc. Go ahead.
We'll hit this at a high level. I know we're running out of time, but a couple things here on the screen. Some changes to the statewide WMA regulation, so it affects all of them. So we're adding some prohibitions for prohibiting salt products, minerals, and other consumable products on WMAs. Right now it says salt, I think, only. There's been no change to the duck blind list. Every couple of years, we look at the list and review that list and bring it to the commission. If you're on a WMA with a dog, if you're not involved in hunting or training, you've got to have that dog restrained. Mm-hmm. Fur bear season is open with other seasons when it coincides with that. And then when fall turkey season is open, it's open on WMAs with statewide seasons. Obviously, that would exclude those counties we mentioned previously.
Yeah, so there's the WMAs that are affected. Pagoda, Eagle Lake Refuge, Meeman Shelby.
Browntown, Flintville, yeah. Eagle Camp. These have no fall season.
Right. Okay. I want to move on to the game bird seasons real fast, the duck. So we wanted to make sure people know these. Yep. These right here. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is the current format that we have now. So we'll open the Saturday after Thanksgiving like we always do, and then the second phase will open 58 days prior to January 31st. Due to the wonky calendar, there's not much of a break this year, so you can see on the screen. After that initial weekend, there's only going to be a three-day closure, and we'll open again on December 5th.
Yeah, so a Saturday opener and then a Thursday opener for the second phase. This has been kind of a whirlwind here trying to get all this in. There's a lot covered at a commission meeting.
It was a big meeting. Like you guys have said, you know, I'll reiterate, watch the video, because there's a lot in that meeting.
Yeah, so it was fun to go through these real fast, and like I said, go watch for more detail. Go ahead, Joe.
Just want to make sure folks know we had to repeal the Arnold Hollow WMA in Lower Middle Tennessee because of lease prices, so didn't want to miss that on the show today. And again, thanks to all the folks that provide comment every year, this year in particular, with the adaptive harvest management process and then our season setting.
Yes.
Thanks for all that reached out.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for the hard work that y'all do and your staff. There's a lot of guys on the ground doing a lot of work, so appreciate y'all.
A lot of preparation goes into that, especially that meeting that we just finished. So yep. Appreciate you guys.
Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging with us for this little preview and an update. And we'll keep doing these for you. But keep coming back, keep watching, keep listening, and we'll see you next time.
Stay connected with TWRA by visiting our website at tnwildlife.org and follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Join us as we celebrate 75 years of conservation in our great state. You can invest in Tennessee's wildlife future by purchasing a license at GoOutdoorsTennessee.com. That's GoOutdoorsTennessee.com.